Matt Verderam from Sports Illustrated, NFL staff writer, of course, also host of the Matt Verderam Show on Patreon, the football show as well. Matt, good to have you, man. I wanted to just start with something Cody and I were just talking about, which is Patrick Mahomes and his play and, you know, 8 straight games with an interception. But we all saw this kind of last year, right? And then come playoff time, the turnovers were just eliminated. So how concerned, if any at all, are you with where his performance has been?
A little. I actually thought he played really, really well against the Raiders. Look, the interception wasn't his fault. He's backed up against the end line, and the right side of the line collapsed, and his arm gets hit. And, you know, there's nothing you could really do about it. I thought he really struggled against the Niners, although, as is his usual, he made a half dozen plays, and also you could argue won in the game.
Yep.
But I think long term, I'm not concerned at all about it. I mean, he's the kind of player who could go on a heater for 5 weeks where he throws 20 touchdowns and one pick. And at the end of the year, you sit there and look at the numbers and go, yeah, he's fine. It'll help that they're going to get Juju back here, you would imagine, relatively soon. They're going to get Hopkins more ingrained in the offense. So, yeah, I mean, I think he would tell you he'd love to play a little bit better. I think, though, 2 of the last 3 games he has played very well. I think the trend is going upward.
When you look at what he's done overall, like, you know, some of the stats just kind of support it. Man, I don't know that anybody would do better without their number one, number two wide receiver, and number one running back, and a very inexperienced left tackle, and, you know, like a fine right tackle, at least in Juwan Taylor. I don't think I want to just ignore circumstances around it. I think that that's maybe what's been more surprising to me, is we're not putting any context towards it. And yeah, he does still look like Mahomes in a lot of pivotal moments.
There's truth in that. And I think, look, I mean, he deserves criticism for the fact that he's got more interceptions than touchdown passes. He deserves that. And, like, there are plenty of guys who would have the same situation and do better. I mean, that's got to be said. Now, at the same point, he's also been absolutely on fire in every game in the fourth quarter. He's just flat out won in the game. In the fourth quarter, when they've got to have it, he takes them right down the field to do whatever they need to do. And if you look at them offensively, in the last 2 weeks, their red zone offense has been excellent. They've been awesome. 7 of 9. They're number 2 in the league now on third down. They're over 50%. So, if the interceptions stop, the rest of it's fine. Like, look, part of the reason his touchdown numbers are down is because they can actually run the football inside the 5-yard line for the first time in his career. Like, how many years has it been where they get first and goal at the 3 and they've got to throw it in on third and goal because they just can't run? And now they've got this running game. Look, I think the thing that nationally people just have not accepted about them, and I don't know why, because it's been the truth for 1.5 years, they're a defensive football team.
Correct.
They're a scheme team, and now they're a team that offensively, look, he stole their identity. They're going to run you over. Like, their identity, especially when Pacheco comes back, is going to be, we're going to hand off 30 times, you're not going to score, and Mahomes is going to break your back with 6 plays nobody else can make. And that's a lot like New England for 20 years with Brady and Belichick.
I think that is what stands out. If you go back through, like, individual statistical years for Tom Brady, there were Super Bowl caliber teams he played with where the stat line's going to finish exactly what Mahomes is. 28 touchdowns, 14 interceptions, 4,000 yards, and a bunch of wins, right?
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. Like, the Chiefs started winning big and winning their first Super Bowl and getting their second with Tyreek Hill and explosives and getting the ball downfield and being a point-a-minute show. And I think, you know, first impressions matter in life. And their first impressions, that's how they win and that's how they play. And so I don't think people have understood, because, look, not everybody watches them every week, although God knows they're on TV enough that people have probably seen them most weeks. They're going to kick your teeth in. Like, that's how they play now. They're going to give up 20 points or fewer. They're going to give up less than 300 yards. They're going to harass your quarterback. They're going to cover everybody with press man coverage. And on offense, they're going to win on third down. Lately, at least, they're going to win in the red zone. We'll see if that continues. And if they do those things combined with their kicking game, they're going to win. They're going to, I mean, it's not like they're 7-0 and they've played nobody. They're 7-0 and they've played one of the hardest schedules in football. So I that is the one thing I think it is unfair to criticize them, where people say, well, it's not as explosive as Detroit, or it's not. Well, they haven't played Detroit's schedule. And I'm not saying, look, Detroit's excellent. Maybe if Detroit sees them in the Super Bowl, they beat them. But the Chiefs have earned every bit of their 7-0. And if you look at their point differential, they're right there with just about everybody.
We're talking to Matt Verderam here on Cody and Gold. Elsewhere in the AFC, we saw that the trade yesterday, Diontae Johnson, who at one point was a name people were bringing up here. We see Diontae Johnson get traded to the Ravens for very little compensation. What did you make of that trade? Because the Ravens have been really good on offense. Their issue is that defense, and yet they address the offense, at least for now.
Yeah, you know, look, I thought when the Bills traded for Amari Cooper, I was asked to write about it for SI, and I gave it an A+. I thought it was a great trade. When the Chiefs traded for Hopkins, I gave it an A. I think Hopkins is a half step below Cooper, but I think he's a meaningful, impactful player. And more importantly, he's the kind of guy in a playoff game that could go off for 130 and two touchdowns. The Diontae Johnson thing, look, I'm not going to get on Baltimore. He's a good player, and they got him for nothing. Although I think it does beg the question, why have two teams now in less than a year just given him up for first line out? Like, why? What is the reasoning? In Pittsburgh, part of the reason was he basically just quit on the team about the fourth month of the season. But I don't love it for Baltimore for the reason you mentioned. They can't stop anybody. Like, if I'm Baltimore, I'm getting a pass rusher, I'm getting a corner, I'm calling up the Saints and making them say no 10 times about Marshon Lattimore. Like, if I'm Baltimore, that's what I'm doing. And frankly, in the playoffs, they got to run the ball to it. They're not going to win the games against Buffalo and Kansas City because they're dropping back throwing 40 times. We've seen that movie. It doesn't work. So, yeah, he's a good player. Yes, they got him for virtually nothing. Can't kill it. But I don't love it. By the way, a crazy stat about the Ravens. They're dead last in the NFL. They've given up 291 yards passing per game. The Chiefs have given up 295 yards total per game. I mean, just consider that when you think about Baltimore needing to make a move on defense.
I think this is also why, even though I think they're the most talented offense in the AFC, I don't view them as the biggest threat to the Chiefs. I think they've already eliminated themselves from the number one seed with that loss last week. They can't get it. Chiefs would have to go 8-1. Chiefs would have to go 6-4, and a million other things would have to happen. So they're going to have to go on the road to Kansas City to get through them, and they can't play any defense. The Texans, to me, are balanced. Once Nico Collins comes back, Will Anderson's a star. And I think the Bills are balanced. They're not as good on defense as they've been in years past, but they're not Baltimore either, right?
They're not. I would agree with you. Look, I don't overstate it. Baltimore is a team that you respect and everything else. I think if the Chiefs got them in the playoffs privately, they'd be like, that's fine. Because we're going to put eight guys in the box, and you're not going to run, and we're going to spread you out, and we're going to throw all over the place, and there's nothing you're doing about it. Houston, very quietly, at least on a national level, locally it's been talked about quite a bit. The one thing with Houston that is a major problem, they can't block anybody. Okay. If you watch Houston, it is a free-for-all into the pocket. The Packers hit Stroud relentlessly. He didn't throw for 100 yards in that game. The Colts hit him relentlessly. The Colts are one of the worst defenses in football. If Richardson had played even halfway decent that game, they would have won. That is a major, major issue for Houston, to the point that if I'm seeing them in a playoff game, whether I'm the Chiefs, the Bills, the Ravens, whoever, I am bringing relentless pressure and trying to take Collins out of the game and say, beat me. Any other way, do it. The Bills, to me, are probably the biggest threat, but it comes with the caveat of the Chiefs have seen them three out of the four last postseasons. And what's happened? They carve them up. They score a million points against McDermott's defense every time they see him. Like, right now, while I have respect for all those three teams, the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC. If they don't beat themselves, they have a very, very good chance of winning and going back to the Super Bowl at the current rate.
It's very early still in the year, but if you just take a peek at the potential playoff picture, we know there's two other AFC West teams, a grouping of AFC West teams that would also be in the postseason. Then the Colts are sitting at 500. They make the big change today, and it doesn't sound like it's a short-term thing. It's Joe Flacco the rest of the way. Colts are currently the 8th seed. With the Flacco move, the Colts making the playoffs now?
Yeah, I think they will. Now, their schedule is really hard. I don't have it right in front of me. Their next four games are something like Minnesota, Buffalo, the Jets, and the Lions.
Woo!
Like, not easy. Although the Jets seem to be the easiest team to beat in the world right now, so maybe maybe somewhat easier. If they can get through that, the rest of their schedule is very, very light. And I think they will get through it. I think they'll be a 9-8, 10-7 team with Flacco. I think they do make the playoffs. Look, I think Denver here is in for a rough second half. Like, Denver's 5-3, and I give them a lot of credit for that. You look at the back half of that schedule, Kansas City twice, at the Chargers, They got the Falcons at home, at Baltimore, at Cincinnati. Like, that's a big ask of that offense to have to go out there and just, like this week against Baltimore. Yeah, Baltimore can't stop anybody from throwing the ball. Is Bo Nix throwing for 400 yards in this game? Because if he's not, they got a problem. They're not going to win any other way. I think the Chargers, the Colts make the playoffs, and then you get into, okay, does Denver hold on? Do they surprise? Does Cincinnati finally wake up? I think Pittsburgh's probably the team, although Pittsburgh, Mike, you want to talk about a tough schedule. Go look at their schedule the rest of the way. But I think Pittsburgh probably gets there based on the fact they're already 6-2.
I've already decided, like, even though I think Andy Reid never gets the proper credit, if Pittsburgh makes the postseason, I've never seen a team actually change quarterbacks that was working. And him being right, he was flexing on people essentially in his press conference. He's like, guess that's what I'm paid for. And then doing a little hop skip off the podium. I've been incredibly impressed with the job Tomlin's done this year.
I never understand every year when the Steelers are like 5-5 with Kenny Pickett, and you get some guy locally who writes in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, like, well, they got to move on from Tomlin. Do you know how many teams would immediately fire their head coach to hire Mike Tomlin?
Except for the Chiefs.
I mean, 28 of them? Like, how many teams? I mean, could you imagine the free-for-all that if the Steelers were like, yeah, we're done with Mike Tomlin? He, to me, is a Hall of Fame coach. He's gotten them to the playoffs. He's done so much with nothing. They have no offense, even this year. Like, their running game's not great. Their line's beat up. George Pickens is the only weapon they have. And George Pickens, it's like week to week whether or not they play him a lot because it depends on his motivation level. They've got Russ looking like Seattle Russ throwing moon balls left and right. Like, listen, their schedule's about to get a lot harder. I think they're going to have some bumps in the road. That being said, what Tomlin does with them year in and year out is nothing short of amazing.
Do you think, last one, Matt, you think the Chiefs make another trade before the deadline next week?
I think, from talking to people around the league, that they are going to still be active in terms of at least looking. I don't know that they end up coming to terms on another deal. I don't think that they've put the phone down yet. And I think if they make another move, stands to reason, you're probably looking at corner. The question is there a corner out there that makes sense in terms of both, is he good enough and is the contract right? That's the real question, I think, for Kansas City. But, yeah, I think they're still listening at this point.
Matt Verderam, appreciate the time as always, man, and we'll check in, I'm sure, in a couple weeks.
Sounds good. Take care, guys.